Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning again, everybody. Today we start a new series. We have just finished a series on heaven. We studied for quite a number of weeks where heaven begins in a life in this world and how heaven grows within us, the process of dying, and what life will be like once we die. Now that's always a wonderful lead-in to, well, what is our purpose? What are we here for? Why do we come to church? Why do we have a relationship with the Lord? What is it all about? And heaven is that answer. So today we're going to look at going back to the beginning. Being born again. What does that mean? Now, in my younger years, it's about 20 plus years ago, when I was a young adult, I remember going to church and being involved with the young adults, and this was a topic, you know, being born again. Are you a born again Christian? Are you a born again Christian? And seeing people go forward and give their lives to the Lord and see the joy, see the happiness, but also see that in their lives, because some of them were friends, nothing really changed. And so there were questions in my life about what is this thing called being born again? What is it? How do I understand this? And I couldn't find the right answers at the time. But as I've grown and as I've come into the ministry, so I've learned more. And there are probably people in this room that perhaps don't consider themselves to be born again. And perhaps there are those who consider themselves born again. And so my hope is that through these next couple of weeks, we can talk about what it is to be born again. And for those that don't think they are born again, to perhaps come closer to an understanding of what it is to be born again. And for those who consider themselves to be born again, how to move forward. What is the next steps? Where do we go after we've given a promise to the Lord? So perhaps a good place to start is, well, Pastor Mark, do you consider yourself to be born again? Well, yes and no. Yes and no. And you say, that doesn't make sense. How can you be born again and not be born again? There are aspects of my life that I can say, yes, they are close to God. And there are aspects of my life that I know are far from God. So some aspects of my life I can say, yes, I am born again. I am new. I am on a new path. And there are other aspects of my life where I realize, whew, there's a lot of work to be done. So, yes, I am born again. And no, I am not born again. And I think this is part of the key to me understanding what it means to be born again, and to look at people and to see, yes, they have given their lives to the Lord, but it doesn't seem to have changed much. It's because we think of life very monolithically as just this one thing. I'm this one person with just one love in me, and either that love is towards the Lord or it's towards other things, and that's not really the case. We are multifaceted, complex beings with lots of multiple loves and distractions in our lives. Some of those will be facing the Lord, and other aspects of it are facing different places. So what are those different places? What are the things that distract us and that separate us from the Lord? And those things that separate us can be classed in two big categories: love of self and love of the world. So love of self has to do with thinking of myself as better than other people, higher, more important, and wanting to dominate and have my will done by other people. That is the love of self, that I am so important that you are here to serve me. The love of the world, yes, has to do with love of physical things, of money and cars and houses and gadgets and clothing. Yes, that's part of the love of the world. But also, there are other things that we receive from the world. We receive things like praise, right? Who doesn't like to get praised and say, wow, you're so great and you're wonderful and you're so good at that and you're so intelligent. We like those things. We like it when people praise us and honor us and lift us up, and we have pride and we love our reputation and we care what other people think, and it's important, and we do everything to protect that reputation. There's a love of the world, love of things that we receive from the world. Could be material, but it could be other people's praise and worship. Those two broad categories are what draw us away from the Lord, that separate us away from the Lord. So where do we start? Where do we start in this spiritual walk? We are a mixture of all sorts of loves, but where do we generally start? If we think perhaps way back to the beginning, before we perhaps had a relationship with the Lord or knew about the Lord, what is that first state of separation that we have? A good place to start for this is to go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. The Bible, like I was saying to the children, is a parable. The whole of the Bible is a parable. The Bible is not a geography book. So when we look open to the first chapter in Genesis and we read about the creation, the Lord isn't talking about geography and how the world was created. The Lord is trying to get us to see throughout His Bible that there are things on a higher level. There are spiritual things that I want you to build your life on. And so when we look at the book of Genesis, specifically the first chapter, we see this creation story. Creation of each one of us. The creation of a spiritual relationship with the Lord. And so we have these 7 days or 7 stages that we go through as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. So let's read Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, that is us, was without form and void or empty, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Before the Lord created anything, this was the state. Before the Lord can create us into a new person, this is our state. We are without form. We are empty. We are in darkness. If we think about some of these words that are being used to describe and this initial state, we can look at the Lord's word and see over and over again the multiple ways in which the Lord talks about being born again. But He uses a lot of different languages. So we have here the idea of darkness. If we think about the Lord's coming was to bring light into the darkness. We think about not having a form. And we think about the Lord coming to mold us, to make us into new people. We have the ideas of old versus new in the Bible. We have the Lord created me a clean heart, so creating. We have later in the Gospels, the Lord speaks about regeneration. Re, again, and generation, creating. So a new creation. So if we stop to think about the ways in which the Lord can express this idea of change, of from the old to the new, from a dark life being born into a new life, we can see throughout His word, the Lord is telling us over and over in different ways that there is a change that the Lord is trying to bring to our life. And this is central to our walk as Christians. There is a change that the Lord wants to bring to our lives. And that's the essence of rebirth. Rebirth, birth in itself is a wonderful experience, a miracle in itself. But there is a second miracle that the Lord wants to bring into each one of our lives. And that's a rebirth as to the deeper things, not our physical body, but our spiritual life. A rebirth of our spiritual life into new things. So what makes this rebirth, this change in us, so difficult? If we can see people who have given their lives to Jesus and who are excited and joyful and delightful, how come life doesn't follow that? How come they still battle with things? How come they can still be nasty or angry? Think about yourself. The reason why change is slow, or we don't see this new, totally new life present in our own beings, is because of that love that we have for self and love of the world. We do those things. We love the things of this world. We love ourselves and we love the praise and honor and reputation because it's delightful. It feels good when people praise us. It feels good to be more important or to be better than other people. If you think about children, how long does it take for children to realize that it feels good if you're the best? It feels good if you're the winner. It's part of our weakness that we latch onto while we are still children. This idea that we feel good even when we're not doing good things. We can be doing hurtful things and still feel good. We can be doing hurtful things and still feel good. We can do hurtful things and feel justified. I was in the right, they were in the wrong. So because we delight, because there is joy, because we feel good even while we are doing hurtful things, change is very difficult. We've got to let go of that old joy to take on a new joy. I want to read to you from the teachings for the new church. You can follow along in your pew cards. We're reading from the book called Divine Providence, How the Lord Governs. So we're reading from number 83. So it's talking about these selfish and worldly loves. If we justify these loves within ourselves and the evils that spring from them because of the pleasure that they give to us, then we remain bound by the material world and become imprisoned in our physical senses. And that's an interesting observation. We become imprisoned by our physical senses. Our physical senses, if we just rely on our physical senses, we cannot prove God. Right? We cannot see Him existing. We cannot touch Him. We can't feel His presence. Our physical senses only tell us a small piece of the reality that exists around us. So if we hang on to the selfish and worldly things, we believe more and more only in our physical senses. In our own thinking, the thinking of our spirits, we are insane. Yeah, that's an interesting word. When we are in a love of self, when we are loving the world, spiritually, we are insane. Okay? We're not thinking correctly. As long as we are in this world, though, we can talk and act rationally and wisely because we are human and therefore have rationality and freedom. So even if someone is hurting you, they can speak rationally and they can even justify to you exactly why it's okay for them to hurt you. Even though we're doing hurtful things, we can use the power of our mind to justify why it's okay. However, we are doing all of this out of a love for ourselves and the world. After death, when we become spirits, we are capable of no pleasure except that which we felt in our spirits in this world. This comes back to our series on heaven. What we cultivate in our lives now is what we take with us. If we are cultivating selfishness and worldliness, those carry with us. This is the pleasure of hellish love, which turns into the profound and agonizing pain that the word refers to as the torment and fire of hell. We can see from this that our first state is one of damnation. That's a very strong word, damnation. And that we are in this state if we do not let ourselves be regenerated or reborn or recreated. So we are in the state of separation from the Lord because we're loving ourselves and we're thinking we're important. And that state, if we hold on to it, if we don't do anything about it, that leads to our ultimate damnation when we die, our ultimate separation from the Lord when we die. So that's where rebirth comes in. This creating something new within our lives, turning away from those choices to enjoy what is hurtful and instead to follow in the Lord's path. Let's read from Ephesians 4. Paul writes, "You should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk." So he's immediately saying, there needs to be a change. If you say you follow Jesus, there's a change that's necessary in your life. Don't walk as other people walk. "In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of the Lord because of the ignorance that is in them." Okay, speaking to this insanity. If we're holding on to the darkness, if we're holding on to the selfishness, it's futile. We're not going to get anywhere. We're not going to benefit from the Lord's love in any way. So because of the ignorance that we're in and because of the blindness of our hearts, we become blind to the selfish things because we enjoy them. Okay, we are angry with people and we feel it's okay to get angry with people. We're blind to the hurt, to the pain. We're blind to what is happening within ourselves, the damage that we're doing to ourselves by being angry and frustrated all the time. "Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Just the results, if we let ourselves follow that selfish path. Paul says, put off concerning your former conduct. Okay, there's a change that's necessary in your life. The old man, the old self, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, that's where things start. That's where change first starts, is in our minds. Renew in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So there's a change that needs to happen, and it starts in our minds, and it leads to a change in our behavior and the rest of the life that we live. We read further from John 3. The Lord says, this is the condemnation, or this is the damnation, or this is what causes separation, that the light has come into the world. Okay, talking with the children today, We probably each have a Bible in our homes. The light has come into the world. The truths that the Lord teaches have come into the world. And men love the darkness rather than the light. And this is the sad part about our life. We love the old. We love staying exactly where we are. We love the routine of life that we're in. We love the frustration. We love being not content with things. We love the weird things that we love. They are hurtful to us. They are hurtful to other people. But yet, we hold on to them because in a warped, insane way, we are getting pleasure out of them. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, and his deeds may be seen clearly, that they have been done in God. So what separates us from the Lord is holding on to the darkness in our lives, holding on to the emptiness, the spiritual emptiness in our lives, thinking that what I'm doing is okay. Because as long as I feel okay, I don't have to worry about anybody else. But the Lord, in his wisdom, came to earth, has given us the truth, has given us the light. The Lord has also come through the teachings for the church to help give us doctrine, to help take us further, give us practical advice of how things should work so that we can change. Taking that truth, taking that light, the change starts in our minds. Do we realize that there is something better for our lives? Do we realize there is happiness far beyond what we are currently experiencing that is possible for us? Do we realize we are the source of our own problems? Do we realize we are the ones who are holding ourselves back? The light is in the world. The light is probably in your mind. And so coming to the Lord, as we do in baptism, baptism is a symbol, coming to the Lord and making that commitment to say, I see the light. I see your truths, and I want to start a journey with you. I want to start to walk in your ways. And so baptism can be seen as giving your life to the Lord, as the beginning step of being born again. Starting in the mind, but we still have a long journey ahead. And so in the new church, when we think about being born again, being regenerated, being created anew, yes, there is a time in your life where you came to this realization, I've got a lot of work to do with the Lord. I have a lot of changes to do. And I want this, and I'm going to do it. And sometimes we call that moment the moment of being born again. But the new church, we look at it and say, yes, it's a good, important step, but it doesn't end there. Because every moment of every day is another opportunity to choose to be born again. Anybody here tried to break a bad habit? Whether it's biting your nails, or swearing, or getting angry in traffic, or whatever it might be. We all have these experiences where we're trying to do something better. And so today we get in the car, or we look ourselves in the mirror and we say, I'm not going to... Half an hour later, we find ourselves getting drawn to biting your fingernails again, or swearing, or whatever it is. Okay. In that moment, though, is another opportunity when we feel drawn to bite our nails or drawn to swear or get angry or get frustrated or want things done your way. There in that moment is an opportunity to choose to be born again. Choose to leave behind the loves of the old and to take on the loves of the new. And so every moment of every day provides us with an opportunity to be born again and again and again and again. So that a process that we make, that we start, that we promise to the Lord, continues with us for the rest of our earthly lives. Where every moment we are born again as we choose to follow the Lord. So being born again, if you think about it, go back to the beginning when I said, yes, I am born again in some ways, and in other ways, I'm far from God. Because yes, there are some things that I have worked on in my life, but there are other things that still need a lot of work, that still need to be born again. And so this is the journey that we are on together. This is the journey that we are here to learn about and the journey to support each other in. Trying to do our best, trying to make the right choices moment by moment, and helping to support each other in doing what is right. And in this way, growing as an individual, but growing also as a community to bring what is of the Lord into our lives, and sharing that around with all who are near. And so this process of being born again is essential for our Christian life. It is the essence of our Christian walk. And our Christian walk isn't just one moment, but every moment of every day. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, our Savior Jesus Christ, we have all come before you. We have all, in one way or another, given our life to you. We have all made a promise that we would like to follow you, to live in your ways. And Lord, we know that there are areas of our life that are still far from you. Lord, as we go out into this week, will you give us the strength and the courage to look at our lives and to see what are the things of darkness, of hurt, of pain that I still cling on to? And Lord, how can I find a way in you that will bring more love, more happiness, and more joy into this world? Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.